Even in his early years, Padre Pio's profound spirituality and unique experiences offered glimpses of his future sainthood. In today's video, we dive into the captivating stories of Padre Pio's childhood. Stay tuned. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're a returning viewer or new to our channel, we're excited to have you with us. Padre Pio, a Capuchin friar, mystic, and miracle worker, continues to inspire and intercede in powerful ways today. Join us as we share new videos and shorts 5 days a week, diving into the extraordinary life and the miracles of this beloved saint. Discover how Padre Pio's legacy can touch your life and the lives of your loved ones. Subscribe now and let's embark on this spiritual journey together. And now to our story. Today's insights are drawn from the book, Padre Pio, A Saint Among Us by Renzo Allegri. Within its pages, we discover fascinating, and to some perhaps even unsettling anecdotes from Padre Pio's early life. Despite how some may feel about them, these anecdotes provide us a glimpse into the formative years of his saintly life. So let's dive in and explore young Francesco's childhood. Allegri shares, "The future Padre Pio began experiencing events beyond normal human understanding around the age of 5. This is known from Padre Pio himself. At a certain point in his life, when he was already a priest, his superiors discovered that mysterious events were occurring to him. They ordered him to write down everything unusual that had happened in his life. Reluctantly, he did so, prompted by his spiritual director, Father Benedetto, and his confessor, Father Agostino. They presented him with a series of written questions, requesting precise answers. This way, Padre Pio was forced to reveal the secrets of his soul. Thus we learn that by the age of 5, his spiritual life was vivid and intense. It was nourished by the teachings of his mother and the parish priest, but mostly by suggestions from mysterious spiritual entities with whom he was already quite familiar. One of these entities was his guardian angel, whom he would later refer to in various letters as the sweet companion of my childhood. When Francesco was old enough for school, his parents did not send him. His father, Grazio, had a disappointing experience with his eldest son, Michel. Grazio had sent Michel to school for 3 years, depriving himself from Michel's help in the fields. However, in his view, Michel had not benefited from the education, so he decided not to repeat the process with Francesco. As far as I know, Padre Pio's brother, Michel, remained illiterate his whole life. But let's continue. At 6 years old, Francesco started helping at home. Grazio entrusted him with the care of the sheep. They had 6 or 7, and Francesco was responsible for grazing them at Piana Romana, where the Forgione family owned fields and a farmhouse. Francesco gladly took on this task. The family's land at Piana Romana bordered the lands of other families with boys around Francesco's age, so they grazed the sheep together. However, Francesco had unusual requirements when choosing friends. He was a child with special sensitivity, receiving an education from what Allegri describes as invisible masters. This education, says Allegri, was more refined than what his peasant parents could offer. While Francesco enjoyed playing with friends, he prayed as soon as he was alone. Prayer for him was a gratifying activity, much like play. This was because it consisted not of abstract formulas, but conversations with celestial entities he knew well, and who, as we have heard, were his invisible friends. Padre Pio's childhood friend, Mercurio Scocca, recounted that when they grazed sheep, Francesco loved to play processions. They would mold figures from mud, create paths, and move the figures by hand. As they played, Francesco sang loudly, while Mercurio, who was tone-deaf, followed as best as he could. Meanwhile, the sheep, left unintended, would graze on crops, causing damage. The farmers would shout, and the processions often ended with the boys getting scolded. Francesco also sought solitude for prayer and meditation. Sometimes at Piana Romana, he would discreetly retreat to a secluded straw hut owned by the Scorcia family, perhaps visiting his invisible friends there. In Pretlicina, he preferred a small room owned by his family, but separate from the rest of the house. When his mother would find him all alone, she would urge him to go and play with his peers, whom she could hear laughing in the street. However, Francesco would shy away, saying, "I don't want to go because they blaspheme." And here comes the part some might find a bit unsettling. His mother recounted that during those years, Francesco had developed a habit of self-flagellation with a small iron chain. One day, hearing strange noises behind her room, she discovered Francesco flagellating himself. Worried, she made him stop, but he often repeated the action. "But why do you beat yourself like this, my son?" she asked one day. Francesco replied, "I must beat myself as the Jews beat Jesus, making his shoulders bleed." As you can imagine, she was deeply shaken by his words. When she heard Francesco flagellating himself, she would move away with tears in her eyes. Furthermore, confirming that Padre Pio did in fact flagellate himself as a child, was Umbaldo Vecchiarino, another friend from his early years. He shared that the boys considered Francesco somewhat strange, but they did not make fun of him because they loved their little friend. However, they were very curious, so on long winter days, they would sometimes spy on him. "Quietly, we approached the Forgione house," Umbaldo said. "We placed stones under the window and climbed up to spy. The room was dark, but we could hear the blows of someone hitting their own body with a hemp cord." End of story. Now, I understand that these accounts portray the young Francesco as a very serious boy, and indeed he was. However, like other mystics, Francesco's seriousness was not merely a personality trait, but a reflection of his profound interior life. This seriousness is often seen in those on a higher mystical level, as they carry the weight of spiritual truths that others may not fully grasp. For example, Francisco Marto, one of the three seers of Fatima, known for his quiet and serious demeanor, became more like an adult than a child after the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in 1917. On a certain occasion, they asked him, "Francisco, which do you like better, to console our Lord or to convert sinners so that no more souls will go to hell?" He replied, "I would rather console our Lord. Didn't you notice how sad Our Lady was last month when she said that people must not offend Our Lord anymore, for he is already much offended? I would like to console Our Lord, and after that convert sinners so that they won't offend him anymore." However, this is not to say that Padre Pio was always serious as a boy. He enjoyed jokes, surprises, and was irresistibly curious. If you'd like me to record another video about Padre Pio's childhood, please let me know in the comments section below. I have more anecdotes from this period, some a bit more down-to-earth, so to speak, but still interesting. I'd love to share them with you if you're interested, so please let me know. Thank you so much for watching. Your support means the world to us. If you enjoyed this video, please like it and share it with your friends. This simple action helps our channel grow and reach more people who love Padre Pio as much as you do. We have more inspiring Padre Pio stories and reflections waiting for you. Check out the specially recommended videos on the end screen, or click the links in the description below for a full selection of great content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for the Day playlist. And don't forget, you can also enroll your Mass intentions for next Friday's Padre Pio Holy Mass. The link is in the description below. Thank you for being a part of our community, and stay tuned for the next video on the life of Padre Pio.